Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Well, greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, today's date's July 6, 2017. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you, with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. excuse me. Prayer request or message. I'll pray for you, with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. 619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, prayer requests can be sent by United States Postal Service and by email with your return address and phone number to call you back. These requests will be taken to Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you at your request with no solicitations for donations. Now, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, live on YouTube, and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Oslo, Norway, Dublin, Ireland, Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Vienna, Australia, Tokyo, Japan, and of course, cities in the good old USA such as Houston, Texas, Aurora, Illinois, Henderson, Nevada, Buffalo, New York, Memphis, Tennessee. These are just to name a few, of course. Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners, at least our radio programs, when they go to podcasts later on tonight. We'll have a prayer in just a second. And I know we're sitting there. Problem is, folks, I'm going to let you right in on what's going on right at the moment. I'm trying to pull up some notes. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. There is a man by the name of Dr. Michael Heiser. He's supposed to be on with us as a guest today. He wrote a book. He's written a couple of books. One of these such books that we were going to talk about is, let's see, here it is, Reversing Harmon, Enoch, the Watchers and the Forgotten Mission of Jesus Christ. Frank, the producer, called him to put him on the program. Well, he claimed that he emailed me a long time ago and said because of doctrinal differences that he couldn't be on the program. And I had to really think about it. Now, mind you, this person waited until right now, airtime, to do this. Anyway, but I love Roy Radio, but it went like this. A long time ago, probably a couple of months back or so, as I do with many, many people, I send out emails asking him to be on the program. Apparently, he did some sort of research and found that I don't believe in once saved, always saved. And so he said that because he believes in once saved, always saved, then he couldn't be on the program. Well, he was booked by a booking agency for our program, and that's where we're at. He bailed out the last minute. He couldn't come on, and I challenge you, Michael, why don't you come on with me at some point, and we can talk about that, and you can prove to me that I'm wrong, or I can prove to you that you're wrong, or we could just not talk about it and talk about your book and talk about the Book of Enoch. But to abandon something, to not, that's just not something you do on talk radio, is wait till the last minute and cancel right when the people are calling you to be on the radio program. That's not a good thing to do. Okay, we're going to have a song while I pull up some notes. And so, Frank, if you'll play that song so I can pull up some notes. Let's have a prayer and we'll start tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I just pray tonight that you give me the words that you want me to give to the people. And I do believe that you're in control, Father. And I just lift up Michael in prayer for not being that he should have contacted me before the program. But Father, I ask you to give a message for the people tonight. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, first off, I'm going to address the issue of once saved, always saved. You know, a lot of people say, well, that's true. You can't ever lose your salvation. So if you can't lose your salvation, or it says you can't lose your salvation, what it really says is that no man can take it from you. And no man can take your salvation. You know, if you are saved, that is between you and your Father. And, of course, Yeshua HaMashiach. Because the only way through the Son, or through the Father, is through the Son. But let's go with this. Hebrews 10:26-27 says, "For if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fire indignation, which will devour the adversaries." Now, that's really clear, and it's in the New Testament, and it's said by Paul, and so they can't say, well, you're using Old Testament scriptures, Pastor Dan. No, I'm telling you what the truth says. The truth says if you sin willfully, that means if you know what you're, like my son says every week, if you know what you're doing wrong, and you keep on doing what's wrong over and over again, you're not going to heaven, you're going to lake of fire. And it really just boils down to that. When you know something's wrong, you can't keep doing it. That's just like lying. Now, we know that lying's wrong. The Word says that lying's wrong, and it even says in the Bible, in one of the last points in the book of Revelation, says to us that liars have their place in the lake of fire, that they're not going to get into the kingdom. Well, of course they're not. Because why? Because they're liars. And why? So were we warned about being a liar? Well, I'd say we were over and over and over again by many different places in the Word. But anyway, Yeshua says, let's go with it. I'm going to find you that scripture. Okay. Here it says in Revelation chapter 21. It's chapter 6. He says, he said unto him, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which is burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So clearly, liars will have their place in the lake of fire. Now, how many of you willfully lie? Do you lie about this? Or, oh, a little white lie I had to tell the children? Really? There's no such thing as a white lie. There's no such, and where do we find all that out? You know, let's go with that. So, well, how do I know it? It doesn't say it specifically in the New Testament, you might say. Well, I believe that it does, but let's go with this. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the Torah, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the Torah is the knowledge of sin. Well, in King James Version, instead of Torah, it says law. But if you look up the word law, you look to the root word, it says Torah. it says Torah. And so if you go, well, what's Torah? Well, commonly, the first five books of the Bible is Torah. And Torah is an archery term. And what's an archery term? That means that as you're drawing back your bow, you let loose the arrow, and it hits the mark. It hits the bullseye. So hitting the bullseye is Torah. That's righteousness. Missing the bullseye is what? Ah, that's sin. So we try to hit the bullseye, and that's an attempt. And so, what is the instructions for doing that? Now, if you ask a Muslim and you went up to him, you said, well, what's the Torah? They'd say, oh, that's the instructions. The same thing a Jew would say, but I'm trying to show you that it's broader than just one worldview. Other religions recognize the Torah as the instructions, or God's instructions, or Yahweh's instructions for holy living. So, it goes back again in the New Testament. It tells us, therefore, by the deeds of the Torah shall no flesh be justified in his sight. No, you can't earn your way to heaven. But by the Torah is knowledge of sin. Hereby we do know what sin is by looking at the Torah. It's a guideline there made for us. It's our instructions to holy living. Excuse me, I had to get a sip of water. Well, let me see what I want to share with you tonight, folks. Shall I tell you a story, or do you want to hear preaching? I wonder. Well, most people don't like to be preached at. We can tell that from listening to Carl Gallup's talk in the last program, how people are running from churches that are doing absolute preaching. You know, the Word of God is supposed to be like a sharp sword. It's supposed to cut to the bone. But let's go with this. Let me tell you a story. How about that? Yeah, let's decide that. We're going to tell a story. This story that we're going to tell is about a young 12-year-old boy. This 12-year-old boy did grow up to turn 18, but, you know, he died in a car wreck. But at the age of 12, one night, his mother and his stepfather were drinking alcohol. They were drinking, to be specific, shots of peppermint schnapps. Now, after you hear this, a lot of you folks might say, wow, I don't ever want to drink that stuff again. But anyway, they were drinking shots of peppermint schnapps. And the 12-year-old says, can I have one? And the dad, and not to be judgmental at all, just telling you the story, the stepdad says, sure. And he gave him a shot. The boy took a shot of this peppermint schnapps, and then he fell down on the floor and started writhing and talking in some other weird language that they couldn't recognize. Well, the mother, even though that, you know, she's a redneck mom and everything, you know, they still believe in God, she said, she recognized it as something demonic. And so she said, no, don't go into him, go into me. Really? That was a really good statement, wasn't it? Well, mom fell down on the floor and started writhing and moving all around, you know. And this went on for a while. And finally, the dad just sat there not knowing what to do. And the story kind of ends there, without them ever making an explanation to how it stopped. Well, after that, this 12-year-old boy started having voices talk to him. And they'd come and they'd go, and they started telling him things like, you know, it wanted him to murder his mom and his stepdad. And he shared it with his mother and stepdad. And, you know, at first they just kind of blew it off. But then they thought, well, this looks like something demonic. We better find a preacher and take him to a preacher. So they did. They took him to the church. And a preacher agreed that this boy had a demonic possession. And so they prayed on him. And apparently it stopped it. Let's go so far to say he may even have cast that demon out. But there is a problem, because you see, there's a lot of other homework that goes on with something like that. And what happened was, is it came back. This thing came back. And when it did, it was so much stronger, so much stronger. And so then the child, you know, he was really plotting to kill his parents. He was getting uncontrollable. And so they took him to, they actually found a second church. Same thing happened, second church, and he just went, you know, he went off. He went crazy after that. I mean, right at first, it calmed it, but then a little bit later, it seemed like, boy, it came back, and it came back with a vengeance. Well, there's a reason for that. The Word tells us that if we cast something out and cast something demonic out and it goes out and wanders around and comes back and see that the vessel is empty, then it will call its buddies, basically, and it will come back 7 times 7 stronger. And this is what was happening with the boy, because you see, in order to cast a demon out of somebody, then their body is empty. And contrary to what so many Christians want to tell you, all Christians can be demon-possessed. If you're demon-possessed at that moment, you're demon-possessed, you are not saved, because the Holy Spirit will not dwell in the same body, nor will something evil dwell in a body with the Holy Spirit. So it's either one or the other. And so that's why you talk to the person and you nurture them along to become saved, so they'll get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that way, when you cast out the demon, the Holy Spirit comes in and fills it up. And so the boy would no longer be empty and have a place to where this demonic thing could come back. And so this is what was happening. So every time they cast the demon out, this demon would come back with more buddies, you know. It'd come back, hey, let's party, you know, come back with the buddies. And there would be more demons. And so it was harder and harder. And he was getting meaner and meaner and stronger and stronger. And mind you, this was a 12-year-old boy. Well, part of these people, they belong to a group out here in the Flint Hills that has many, many cousins and relatives and aunts and uncles and all that. And I'll tell you about all that when we get back from a break. So, folks, you need to go to prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Check out everything we got over there. You can find links to the Wichita Mission Church. You can find just about anything you want to know about our ministry. And you can find radio program archives that are live radio programs. We just turn them into podcasts for the archives after the radio programs. But we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Size Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, remember, support us so we can care for the people that the Father sent us. People, you know, men, women, children from all walks of life, they all come looking for various different things. Miracle prayers, Bibles, food, clothing, you name it, they come looking for it. So pray about it, especially you folks over there in Wichita. You could bring, because a lot, that's hard to mail clothing, you know. But most of you, you go from transition from summer to winter to summer. You know, bring us your old stuff, you know. That way the people can be blessed by it. And anyway, so pray about that. We really do need your help. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We have many, many people that come in looking for things. Like I say, we have women. Right now we're hitting with an overabundance of women, and we should never be that way. But we are, because there are just not any beds out there for women. Yeah, I know you might say, well, wait a minute, isn't there a men's walk-in shelter in Wichita, Kansas? Yeah, sure there is, the Union Rescue Mission. And a lot of guys don't like to go there, but there's no walk-in woman's shelter. And so if a woman goes homeless tonight in Wichita, she's probably going to be out in the street or under a bridge or hiding someplace. And you know what that leads to? It leads to prostitution and many other things, or getting snatched off the street, raped. It leads to drugs. It leads to so many things, because people try to take advantage, or do take advantage of the women. Some of them just disappear. We try to help them, but, you know, it's just not as easy as it sounds. So pray about it. Pray for the women in Wichita, and pray for Messiah's Branch. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. They're treated as family. Second, beyond that, we have no set guidelines. Like, we don't have any programs. People walk in the door and ask for what they need, and that's the rule. If we do not have the way to fill the need, we tread in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People that have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. Folks, and we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for Radio Airtime. Radio Airtime is due now, and consider maybe being a sponsor. We can talk about that. And radio airtime isn't free, and it takes money to keep us on the air. Messiah's Branch sells nothing. We don't have anything to sell. Well, people come on and they sell books and things and talk you into buying their books, which I, when I recommend a book, it's because I read it, and I generally usually read it, and I believe that it's something good for you. But I receive no money for that. I receive no money for radio. The only money I receive is a donation that you might make to me. And so that's why right now it's taking us a longer time to recover. We use a computer that uses 16 megabytes of RAM memory. And that is our main computer. It does a lot of things. And it's out. I mean, it's barely loping along. It's had some memory problems. I don't know if I can replace the memory, the RAM, which is expensive. I don't have the money for new RAM. But it takes that much, 16 megabytes, to do what we do. But the point is we don't have the extra funds for that. We're busy taking care of everybody. The only time that we use money for radio is if it's designated for radio. So if you want to help with the refixing that, and we need a new, we have a monitor that because of, that is going out, we need another monitor and several other things. We tried to put a price tag on it around $2,000 last week when Stan Johnson was here, but it's however the Father wants to take care of it. But lift us in prayer and pray about supporting airtime. And I don't like talking about money. Let's go back to our story. So, okay, we have this 12-year-old child, and by this time, the family's getting frantic. They really, really do not know what to do. They do not know what to do. I wish I could find my notebook on it, folks. But anyway, they don't know what to do. Well, they come to find out, like I was going to say, is we knew a lot of these people because in this neighborhood, we live in a little small hick town, and you know everybody, and everybody's, and besides with this family, practically everybody was is related to them. Anyway, one of the ladies came over and asked me, actually it was his mother, said, Pastor Dan, and they said, Dan, you know, do you know, we know that you deal with the internet and you do different things and you got something going in Wichita, do you know any way or can you find us somebody to help this child? And I won't give his name. And I said, well, what's the problem? Well, they explained it to me, and I said, well, where is he now? And they said, well, you know, he's over at my sister's house. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll go over and I'll have a look at him. I said, because, you know, I am a pastor, and I've dealt with things like this, not quite this severe before, but I've dealt with things like this. I'll go over and talk to him. So I think a day went by, and I went over and talked to him, and I got there, and so I talked to him, and he just seemed to be talking normal, and he told me the story about the voices and them wanting him to kill his mom and his stepdad and everything, and they come on him in school, and he told me about the preachers and all the different things, and I said, okay, well, I want to try something. Now, I anointed him with oil, and I laid hands on him, and I said, repeat after me. And I also did this same time. I put one hand on him and one hand on his mother. And no, his mother had to leave. It was just her sister. That's why I was looking for my notes. Anyway, it was her sister. So I laid hands on both of them. And I said, okay, now repeat after me. And I go, okay, our Father. And they go, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, that is a cleansing prayer, and it is a very powerful prayer. It's called the Our Father prayer. Well, let's back up. About three sentences in, it was like, Our Father who art in. And about that time, this kid turned into something that looked like a Linda Blair thing. He started riffing and hissing and drooling and, you know, breathing hard. And, you know, it was really, really spooky. And, you know, so I immediately rebuked him. And I said, I'm not going to try to repeat exact words, but I bound him. I bound the devil. the demon that was in him and made him go into recession and brought the kid back. And I went, okay, wow, okay. A few days later, the first time, first encounter, I laid hands on him, anointed him with oil, prayed the demon out. Demon was gone. No problem. Right. Couple days later, guess what? Demon come back. Well, prayed over him again, and this time this demon talked to me. He really had some crazy things to say, but it was speaking with me. And, you know, I anointed him with oil, and I prayed on him, and we were walking up a country road together, and this demon went away. Well, I really thought I had him that time, and I suggested that they come to the church, the mission church that I was helping with at that time. It wasn't the Messiah's Branch Mission Church, but it was a different church. I was helping some bikers out with their church. Anyway, so you bring the kid to Wichita, and make a long story short, everything's going fine. They brought several relatives and the mom and the stepdad and everything, and they're all in this church, and we're all praising, worshiping, and it was on a Saturday afternoon. We're praising, worshiping, and this kid all of a sudden turns in the middle of this praise and worship song, turns into this demonic thing, and immediately tries to get to his mom to kill her. Well, we cleared the a couple of pretty big boys grabbed him, and we cleared the church. And so then we all of a sudden we have this writhing demon here in our midst, and nobody knows what to do with him. And I, for one, was pretty shocked because I figured I'd gotten rid of him. But by then I knew there had to be some grounding. But in order to get this demon bound again, there was quite a night of trials that went on. The demon tried to go into my son Daniel, and my son Daniel saw a vision of it, or saw a manifestation of it, and he said it was taller than the building, big demonic thing with horns and hissing and all these different things. And this boy, this 12-year-old, was throwing grown men around like they were paper dolls. Finally, I, not knowing what to do, I got on top of it. I said, hold him down, and he held him down, and I got on top of this boy, and we had placed the Bible on him, and that was working to some point. And I just got through praying on my knees and asked these two believers to pray on me so I'd get a word on how to deal with it. And so I got up, like I said, and I went and sit on this boy, and I sat down on him, and I took one arm and held it down, and I said, the blood of Yeshua, and change, invisible change, came across his arm and held him down. And I did the same thing on the other arm, and you can see the impression of these visible chains as he pulled up against them, and he hissed and said all kinds of things to me and was trying to taunt this brother that was actually in charge of this church and telling him how weak he was and calling him all kinds of names, which I won't go into. But anyway, finally, at the end of this session, which took hours and hours, finally, I was able to bind this demon, and I sent him home. I left him there in Wichita. We couldn't send him home to his parents because, and I didn't try to cast it out, but I bound it, and we couldn't send him home to his parents, so we left him with the pastor there in Wichita, and I said, we have to investigate your home. And so the following day, we left him with this pastor, and that's another story entirely. If I get time, I'll tell you a little of that, what happened. But anyway, so I go out to this house, me and a couple of ladies from the church that were real powerful prayer warriors. So we go out to the church, or not to the church, I apologize. We went out to his house, and we were going in looking for things that would be a grounding, a doorway for this to come from. What did this come from? It came from something. Well, so we looked through the house, and you could tell the house, they had got rid of some things, you could just tell that because you were finding nothing in the South. And finally, the stepdad comes up to me and he says, hey, he says, can I talk to you outside a minute? And I said, yes, sir. And we walked over to this old station wagon, I think it was, this old car anyway. And we had a fire burning next to it because we were going to throw anything into this fire that was bad, right? Well, he says, I need your help. He said, I want you to help me take the stuff out of this car and throw it on the fire. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, well, I'll just show you. And I said, well, wait a minute. Something that you really got to commit to doing yourself. You can't do it because you want me to do it. You have to do it because it's right. So, okay, let's see what's in it. So he opened the door, and what was in it? There was books on spells. There was a black cape, all kinds of dark, and I think they were all black or gray candles, and all kinds of junk, some heavy metal music and a bunch of stuff, you know, that was really Satanistic stuff, you know, and let alone, like I say, witchcraft stuff and everything. And I said to him, really? I said, how long? I said, that's yours? And he said, yeah. He said, I've been trying to be a warlock. I said, well, how long have you been trying to be a warlock? He said, for years. But nothing's ever happened. And I said, really? Nothing's ever happened? Your stepson is what happened. There are demonic forces here. So anyway, we took the stuff over to the fire, and we'd throw it in the air, and it was like a little cassette tape would blow up like it was gasoline, all this stuff, and it'd shoot smoke way up into the sky, big black smoke, and so did the papers and the cape and all these various things. And so when we got done, we prayed over him, and we prayed over the house and cleansed the house. And then so after all of that, it was time to go back to Wichita. About 2 days later, we go back to Wichita. And during the meantime, this demon, you know, the pastor called me several times, and this demon within him would sit there and talk to him and taunt him, you know, tell him things out of his past and all kinds of garbage, kind of like what you see in the movies. And it was, you know, to one point it was funny, but not really. I mean, it was a demon. Doing it. So anyway, we get back over there, and what happens? Okay, so we get about five people in there, and I have one person just doing nothing but walking around reading Psalms, and reading Psalms out loud. And then when he got through the Psalms, it's go read the Proverbs and then start over, and so on and so forth. Well, about four of us spent some time trying to cast this demon out. It wasn't working. And you could give him we'd take a little bit of anointing oil and put it in water and give it to him to drink, and he'd just throw it up. It was just ridiculous. So finally I prayed about it. I said, well, what should I do, Father? What should I do? And it came over to me. I went over to this child, and I ordered the people that were holding on to him to not partake in any prayer, to let go of the boy. And because it was, I realized that it was between me and the demonic. And so I don't remember exactly what words I prayed just ahead. And I know, I'm sure I asked Yeshua's help. And I cast the demons out of this child. They left. They absolutely left. After they left, this child lived to be 18, and we never had the demons come back again. And he died in a car wreck. I don't know if anything demonic had anything to do with that or not, but he was never had the voices come back, and they had left him. And now that family, whenever they need a house blessed, in fact, I have a relative right now, and I have her phone number and address on my phone, and wants me to come over and bless their house because something strange is going on. And over the years, anybody, one of their relatives, something weird going on, because now I have a reputation out here as a demon fighter, which I have fought many other demons. I matured after that. That was a growing up type thing. Since then, I've did many things. We've seen Men in Black. Shortly after that, we've seen all kinds of things since then, and I've cast out many demons. In fact, I've had anointing oil in my pocket, and I've had a demonic possessed girl at the Wichita Mission Church just fall down on the floor and start screaming to get away from her because it wasn't their time yet. And it was the demon that was screaming because I had an anointing oil that he didn't want to be cast out of this woman's body. And so it goes back to that. You folks, you can't cast somebody out, a demon out of somebody's body, unless that person is willing to accept Christ. Oh, and that's part of the story. So when I cast this demon out, we asked the boy if he accepted Christ, and we helped, and he said yes. So at the moment that he became saved, and we laid hands on him for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, at the same time, you know, this child, you know, they never came back until his death, and I don't know if they came back at his death. But you see, they can't exist in the same place. It's just not possible, because one will exist with the other. But, you know, I hope you take a lesson from that story, because there are the demonic walking around in front of us. You see these people walk. That's why, let's go with this. So many people that have multiple personalities, the multiple personality is a demon. You understand? It's actually demons talking to you that are possessing that person. There's a huge percentage of people, I'm not saying everybody, but there's a huge percentage of the people that are in hospital right now at this moment or under the influence of drugs that are numbing their brains so this demonic thing can't speak, are possessed by demons. And that is indeed why they have the problem that they do. But not all. And it takes a lot to decipher one from the other, and that has to be done by a righteous person, by a man of God, and it should be a man of God, because you need to take authority over these demons, and that's just what it needs. It needs a man, preferably more than one. The more, so to speak, the merrier. Take these things on. And a lot of things, it adds to it, like prayer and fasting. You know, you need to be prayed up. You need to know what you're doing. Because here's the problem. If the demons can't hurt you or harm you, what will they do? They'll come back against your family or somebody else that's close to you, that it would injure you for them to be in distress or trouble or so on and so forth. And so if they can't attack you directly, they'll attack you indirectly. And that's one of the reasons why this ministry has a lot of problems, is because we're consistently under attack because of the people that we help. We help some of the worst people in the worst of the worst part of one of the worst of the worst parts of the city of Wichita. And so we're willing to pray on these people and pray their demons out of them, pray for them in miracles. But the devil has went through a lot of trouble a lot of times to get these people in the place where he wants them at, and he doesn't like the fact that we're helping him. And so that's part of what Messiah's Branch does. And no, don't give me that. After I talked about this last time, I had people calling me wanting me to cast out demons over the phone. I don't generally ever, I won't say ever, but I generally do not attempt to cast out demons over the phone. If there's something like that going on with you, you need to find a man of God that is close, that you can talk to up front, one that knows what he's doing. And if you're not willing to accept Yeshua HaMashiach as your personal Savior and really pursue a relationship with him, then you might be better off with the one demon or two demons you may have rather than cast them out and have them come back 7 times 7. So you need to find somebody knowledgeable and somebody in the same city as you. And these things are going to get worse and worse and worse because they're out there right now. They're looking for people to possess. It's getting worse and worse. The United States, like Stan said last week, is becoming a habitation of devils. Well, that's a fact. Because listen, like we listened to Carl last hour, we talk about only 17% of the people in the United States, you know, on a poll wise, said that they lived a biblical worldview. 90% of the conservative churches that were polled said that they don't preach against sin and none of the controversial things. So if there's no preaching going on out there and the people aren't saved, what is going to be out there? It's going to be a habitation for devils. And that's why you're seeing all these things that people are saying, oh, well, that's normal. Really? Look at all the slaughter you watch on TV. Look at all the slaughter at the TV programs. Wicca is the biggest growing religion in the United States right now. So witchcraft is increasing. And Christianity is doing what? Going the opposite direction. There is no power with it. So, folks, you really need to be prayed up. And no, witches aren't good. Frank said, put a thing up here that said, suffer not a witch. Suffer not a witch to live. Not that we're not going to go out and kill them. That's not in our modern day thing, but they used to burn them at the stake because the word says that they're to be put to death. Why? Because they are so evil. They carry these demonic things that will take you down. Anyway. Well, I hope you liked the story. I hope you got some kind of lesson of it. And we'll have some others on next week. And just pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. But really, you must remember that there is only one God. There is no other gods. Yahweh created everything. There is no other gods. There is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua, HaMashiach. And he gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. No, Muhammad's not the way to the Father. The Hinduism isn't the way to the Father. Indian religion isn't the way to the Father. There's only one way. And that's through Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the living word. He is also Yahweh. The two are one. So, remember, always be a blessing to others. How can you not be a blessing to others? If you have the Holy Spirit within you, if you are saved, how can you not be a blessing to others? Because you're suppressing the Holy Spirit? Well, you better pray about that, because not once saved, always saved. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return, and the Word requires us to do that. It says it. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for him. That's world peace. Well, I'm going to get on out of here. Again, pray for the Wichita Mission Church, and we'll talk next Thursday. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.